Module 2, Lesson 3. Cycle tracking continues. What you'll discover: turning tracking into an art project, understanding the rabbit hole, and we'll take moon gazing to the next level. So last week we talked about the importance of tracking, but I'm gonna keep hounding you on this because tracking is so important. This is how we learn what's unique and true for you when it comes to your cycle. So if you're finding tracking difficult, set a timer on your phone to remind you to track each day. That can be helpful. Or track with an app. Most of us carry our phones around all the time. Just go ahead and track right on your phone. You can also make it into an art project. And it's the latter that we're going to talk about next. So make a giant chart art project. I want to introduce you to the work of Leslie Carroll Botha. She brought chart art tracking to at-risk teen girls, and the data was mind-blowing. She did this in the 80s, and I want to share with you some actual chart art projects from at-risk teen girls. So here's one from 1988. And I want you to notice here, find day one, the first day of this girl's bleed. And I want you to notice how day one through about five, there's a lot of black being used. And then long about day seven through ovulation, day 13, there's a lot more color. There's some oranges and some pinks. The same is true of this second chart, where you can see day one, she's using lots of black squares. And what I notice about this is it doesn't really matter what the symptom is, but the colors that she tracks the symptoms with change, indicating maybe a change of how she's feeling. So what Leslie did with her work was she gave the girls free rein to use any colors that they wanted, stickers, shapes that they felt compelled to use. And what she noticed was that around the same time, all of the girls' charts started to have a lot of thick, dense black squares. And she started to notice other patterns as well. For example, she saw stickers and bright colors at the peak of the cycle, so that's ovulation. And each chart plunged into darkness upon reaching the 8 days on each side of the period. So that's maybe 4 days before the period and 4 days after the period starts. This is the area where she's saying the girls plunged into darkness. She found some other interesting things as well. 90% of the girls she worked with had been arrested during the premenstrual phase of their cycle. This was a huge revelation. She also noted that during premenstrual, the girls noticed more anger, disruptive and self-destructive behavior, suicidal ideation, and drug and alcohol cravings. She noticed this girl after girl, year after year of doing this work. She was able to conclude that no matter the girl, her background, the type of abuse she endured, her weight or body image, they all fell down what I call the rabbit hole in their mind. That's a quote by Leslie Carroll Botha. So the rabbit hole in their mind. This is that place on the chart where all the boxes start to be solid, dense, black colors. This is the time when these girls typically felt more anger, more disruption, more self-destruction. And what I notice about myself is that I too fall down the rabbit hole in my mind. A few days before my bleed time and a few days during my bleed when it's the heaviest, my self-critic is really high. It's hard to feel good about myself. I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. And so it was really helpful for me to know that sometimes I was just in the rabbit hole. But what happened when these teen girls were able to track for a few months? She also noted that after 3 months, these girls became empowered and in control. Mindful self-awareness and understanding that phases are normal and passing made all the difference in their ability to handle them. That was a direct quote from Leslie Carroll Botha. I find this so exciting because just after 3 months of tracking, these girls who had a pretty tough go of it became empowered, understanding their cycles, and realized phases are normal and passing. And that empowered them in ways that she hadn't seen before they were tracking. So this is just another example of the importance of tracking. And if you want to follow the lead of this work, you can make a giant chart art project. I've led several tracking workshops, and I always have a few women who prefer to make a giant, larger-than-life chart. If that's you, go for it. Remember, it doesn't matter how you track. It just matters that you do. Make it easy, make it accessible, make it a daily habit. The more you track, the clearer your internal map becomes. Get curious about your internal landscape and commit to at least 3 months of tracking. That way we can start to look at patterns, just like the example I gave you with the at-risk teen girls. One of the things that we're tracking is what phase is the moon in and how does that compare to what day of the cycle you're in. So we're going to take that one step further, and I'm going to give you a few other suggestions on ways to take your moon gazing practice to the next level. The first suggestion is a moon gazing meditation from the Tritaka tradition. So this is a yogic moon gazing practice. Tritaka has been defined as looking unwaveringly at a small point until your eyes begin to tear. And that's basically it. But here's how to do it. Go outside or find a window where you can see the moon, whatever's most comfortable for you. And then breathe calmly in through your nose, out through your mouth. Starting to breathe that moon in. Almost like it's a part of you. Then allow your gaze to soften as you stare at the moon and take it in, remembering to breathe. The point here is to not blink as you're taking in the moon and notice when your eyes start to water. If you want to, you can let a few tears fall. And when you feel like a strain, close your eyes. You should now notice an imprint of the moon in your mind. Concentrate on that imprint or recreate that imprint if you don't see it. Keep breathing and looking at that imprint of the moon. This is the object of your focus now, the moon inside of you. When the imprint disappears, you've completed one cycle. You can do these as many times as you like. Most people like to start with about 5 minutes and work their way up to 10, but do whatever's comfortable for you. If you don't want to gaze until your eyes get blurry, the other option is to just take a few deep breaths and notice the moon. Notice the moon every night and notice how is she changing? How does she make your backyard look when she's full versus when she's dark? Where does she rise from your office? Where does she rise from your home? Which direction? Just start to notice. And remember, increasing your awareness of her increases your awareness of the feminine. I also want to share with you a little moon tip that you may or may not know. When the moon is on the left, this is a waning moon, meaning it's shrinking. The way I like to think of this is moon on the left, it's moving towards rest. So you can look up at the sky and know, oh, that's a waning moon if it's on the left. If the moon is on the right, that's a waxing moon, meaning it's growing. I like this little ditty, moon on the right, moving towards bright. So just a little moon knowledge for you, you can keep in your back pocket. And I'll leave you with this quote by Pablo Neruda. As if you were on fire from within, the moon lives in the lining of your skin. So happy tracking and moon gazing, and I'll see you in the next lesson.